Everything you believe, right, is a choice. Your beliefs are choices that you haven't taken responsibility for yet. And once you take responsibility for everything you believe, then you can believe whatever the hell you want. And your opportunity, or maybe your obligation, is to select the belief that aligns with getting you what you want.
Episode 119, Transform Your Reality with Chris M. King. What's up, guys? It's been a while. I've been away from the podcast game a bit. I've actually recorded some episodes, but haven't gotten them out to you. And one of the things I just want to talk about as a segue to the topic today that I have been focused on, involved in, working on myself is in this same genre of manifestation, of transformation of reality. In fact, we've even had folks on the podcast before. A couple that come to mind, Daniel Mangena, he talked about abundance, right? And I still use his daily practices, some of his clearing exercises and abundance manifestation exercises, visualizations. We had David Strickel. David talked a lot about his connection to the source, which is awesome. But I think each of us wants to figure out how we make our own connection to the source and our own connection to those infinite possibilities and infinite wisdom. So for my part, I'll give you a little bit of my own experience with the topic, this topic. So one of the things I remember very early on was reading Think and Go Rich, Grow Rich, excuse me, the book that to me, the book, the anecdotes, the practices just felt very mechanical, very cerebral. It just wasn't something that resonated with me to keep up or that I put into practice in a way that was effective for me. And then in contrast, maybe the other end of the spectrum, at least I'll say, was The Secret, if you remember the book or the movie. That to me was really powerful, but at the same time was kind of ethereal. It's like to me, at least at that time in my life, I didn't know how to implement that or how to see that as a form of magic that would work for me. So not too long ago, I started getting back into Dr. David Hawkins' Power versus Force book. And to me, that at least at the time I read it, it really connected for me. It really made sense, sort of what this thing is all about. But it didn't really tell me how. For me, it didn't connect to what practices I need to put in place, how I do these things. So he talks about vibration levels and energy and this infinite consciousness and wisdom and timelessness. But I didn't walk away from Power versus Force with a practice. So for me, one of the things recently that has come along kind of at the same time as I was talking to Chris King for this episode was the Dr. Joe Dispenza book, Becoming Supernatural. I love the way that Dispenza explains things and his meditations. And this book to me is great in that it really is the how. For me, it answers the how. It explains to me a lot of how this stuff works for the purpose I mentioned, right? For each of us to gain that power in our lives, to not just hear from somebody else and an expert how they connect and how they've transformed, but taking the mystery out of it so that each of us can do the same thing. And that's really what the nature of this episode with Chris King is today. Chris helps folks in that same way. So he shares those secrets of how to reach greater fulfillment and health and love and relationships and abundance and financial success, all those things shaping our reality into what we want it to be. So not just energy and vibration, but we talked today with Chris about how to do some of those things. He talks about using sound, breath, and motion, that combination of three things to really make that transformation happen, to really empower the way we connect to realizing those infinite possibilities and bringing them into our reality. So much like Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about both intention and emotion as the powerful connection that attracts those things, Chris talks about sound, breath, and motion. So that's just one of the highlights we get into with Chris here today. So one last thing before we jump into the episode with Chris, I just want to let you know, as usual, wrap up the episode and mention the link to the show notes and links on my website. I also want to let you know, as Chris will mention here in the episode towards the end, at his website, statusflow.net, he set up a special link for our listeners. So I will mention that again here as we wrap up, but that is, I'll mention the specific link, but it is up on our website at the show notes and the page for this episode. So, all right, with that being said, let's dive into it today with Chris M. King, episode 119, Transform Your Reality. All right, we're rolling. Today I have Chris King, so facilitator, speaker, author, his book, Renegotiate Your Existence. This is something I ponder a lot myself, reality, existence. Definitely want to get into this. He focuses on human systems, recalibrating human systems for achieving the seemingly impossible. And Chris, I feel like we're almost sort of kindred spirits to the show here. We both love to talk about human potential, human performance, you know, the Flow Collective. We were talking offline about some similar folks I think we both know or follow. Even, you know, the top performers in not only private practice business, but the SF soldier sort of realm. You know, everybody who's cracked the code of sort of success per se, or top tier performance. So all that being said, I know you go by a few nicknames. I saw Witch Doctor is one of them. I mean, I've had PhDs, I've had MDs on the show. First Witch Doctor, I'm a little scared, but let's just jump right in and figure out what that's all about. So Chris, welcome.
Thank you so much. Great to be here. Yeah, I can be a little scary sometimes. The client gave me that title. He said, you're some kind of witch doctor, voodoo master, whatever. I was like, yeah, okay, we'll go with that. I bought a hat actually.
Okay. I saw Irritable Buddha as well. Maybe that one is a little friendlier.
Yeah. Yeah. The branding expert called me that. She said, you're like this weird irritated Buddha. And I was like, that's
oh, irritated
so good.
Buddha. Okay.
I was like, irritable. That's so funny. So yeah, well, call me what you will. Just, you know, whatever works for you. I'm good. I'm not married to these things.
All right. Well, let's just go with Chris M. King and we'll take it. We'll take it from there. Dude, I got to just jump right into a couple of your teasers I saw. Mind fuckery. What is that all about?
Okay, so I wish I could take credit for that. But, you know, we have a podcast, too, called Mindfuck, because my CMO called me up. He was listening to the very first episode under the new format. The new format was me doing coaching sessions one-on-one with somebody. Just invite them in. It's like, look, we're going to process through right now and get some shit done. And he was halfway through listening to it, and he called me up, and he said, we have to change the name of the podcast, because it was a really generic name. I was like, oh, what are you talking about? He says, we have to call it Mindfuck. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, dude, and this is the nature of the work, okay? It's really penetrative, right? Because we are getting deep into the underlying unconscious psychology that is driving somebody's reality. And so he and I tend to be like 13-year-old boys when we get together. So things get really lowbrow really quickly. And so he said, it's like you're fucking her right now, like through like the mind, it's a mind fuck. And he was so lit up, and I fought him. I kid you not, Michael, I fought him for a month on this, and then I just finally just caved. I'm like, whatever, you're the marketing person. so it's all his fault is what I'm saying. I'm gonna go against my whole rule about personal responsibility. I'm just gonna blame him, right?
Yeah, he gets all the blame, you get all the credit, no doubt. But so, I mean that does
wherever you are.
right. Well, I mean, I know when I read your bio, one of the things that kind of caught me is it asks this question, you know, do you see others sort of crushing life, crushing reality, crushing success, and then you feel like life is crushing you, right? And I do know people feel that way. I know we probably all feel that way, at least at some point. And I relate it back to this guy up your way, Bedros Koulian, who had a little video out this week that said, you know, it's just that 1% of the time that I actually feel like I'm succeeding, right? And I need to take that 1% and sort of compound it and build on it. Is that kind of the similar sort of thing you're talking about? What do you mean when you say people appear to be crushing life and then you feel like life's crushing you?
Well, I mean, it can go both ways. And I think a lot of those things are true, right? Because, you know, like your listener in particular, that they're the high performer, they're crushing it. And yet there's still something not quite done yet. There's nothing, right? I'm still not quite there.
Always.
I haven't succeeded as I define it. It's like, All right, cool, right? So, but a lot of times by reorienting how we think about these things, we can get a lot more traction. The work that we do is actually very counterintuitive. And so, browbeating yourself into more success is typically a dissonant motivator. It doesn't really connect. I mean, it can work, but it's expensive, like energetically. If you get a more resonant motivator, then you can get to that point and crush it. But the thing is, for the one percenters that never quite feel successful, you got to own your awesomeness, right? Like, you got to give yourself that pat, like, give yourself your cookie, man. It's because the more you do that, the more of that you're going to get.
Is that what you mean by counterintuitive?
Yeah, sometimes we think that we need to really get on ourselves. And look, I know for me, sometimes I do. Sometimes I need to go, okay, look, shit show, like, let's get moving here. And sometimes it's like a little more compassion for myself or something like that, or a pat on the back where I'm like, hey man, you're crushing it. Go crush it more, right?
Fair, fair. So let me ask you something else. I was just wondering last night, and it ties into this. To this sort of work and energy and focus and expanding that energy and focus. So I don't know if you've seen there's a 3-season series called The Chosen that I think it's on Netflix. So I think it was created by probably a church or a nonprofit, and it portrays so there's an actor, probably LA based, right? And he's portraying Jesus, and it really humanizes him and his journey with his apostles. So I was watching a little bit of the making of last night, and the guy, I don't know his name, who plays Jesus in this series, was talking about, the old adage that su overnight success takes 15 to 20 years. And so he was saying it was literally 20 years from the day that he took his first acting job, starving actor, 20 years, and then he got this role that, now he's sort of very widely known. So, thoughts on that success journey and how it relates to maybe accelerating it through the energetic and other work you do?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts there. I think anything can be can we can look through that lens, right? My business is the same way. It's the overnight success that took a decade, right? It absolutely. And but the same is true in personal development. Like, people tell me, God, Chris, you're so insightful, you're so awesome, you really know your shit. I'm like, look, I didn't come out of a box this way. Just ask my ex-girlfriend, right? It took decades to get to this level, right? And I still got work to do. So anything you're working on is going to take that. Now, in terms of speeding it up, there's a lot of tools. And again, this is where the counterintuitive thing. I'll give you a tool right now that is going to speed you up. Most of the time, we are going to enter into judgment of ourselves about something that's wrong or off, right? Here's how I'm making myself wrong or bad. Judgment in this context is defined as the way I'm making myself wrong, bad, or whatever. You cannot fix something through the lens of judgment because you're separated from it. Right. So the thing you're, it's like, that is good. And, that idea that the thing that I did is bad and this idea is good. Right. So that's over there and this is over here. So there's a separation. You cannot course correct. You cannot fix something through the lens of judgment. So when you train yourself to release the judgment, which doesn't mean you like the situation, it doesn't mean you agree with the behavior, it doesn't mean you're going to let it condone, it doesn't mean you're quote unquote letting someone off the hook or even yourself. What we're doing is releasing the judgment that we're holding around that. That allows us to reconnect with it and all the things that were driving it. And from that point, we can affect it. And this is going to move you a lot faster. But the ego hates this shit. The ego wants that to be wrong and bad and all the things. It wants me to be wrong and bad. It wants to do the self-abuse thing. It's like, look, you're just going to let yourself off you got to let yourself off the hook here because that's how we're going to move a lot faster. The same is true with business teams. Right. If somebody comes into a CEO's office and the CEO's like, what the crap were you thinking? And all the things, this is just going to take more time.
Interesting. Okay, so I get the concept. What's the how?
Well, the first thing you got to do is identify what that judgment is. And you can usually identify it in your inner script or in your outer speech with one of two words, should or shouldn't, what we call shoulding all over the place. When you're shoulding all over the place, there is probably a judgment present, right? So let's say somebody who's consistently late, like I'm notoriously early, I'm gonna be there on time and probably a lot earlier. Somebody that's consistently late, we are the judgment, right? Okay, they should be on time, and somebody who should be on time and is not on time is what? They are disrespectful. They are lazy. They are irresponsible. They're selfish. They're self-absorbed. They're right? None of these are facts. These are all subjective judgments, right? So here's a script, right, on how to release the judgment. Once we identify it, step one, identify it through the shoulds and shouldn'ts. Okay, got it. I'm going to use
Got
disrespectful. I choose, right? It's a conscious choice. I choose to release my judgment of person as disrespectful or irresponsible or lazy, whatever the thing. Because the truth is. Now, this is where it gets tricky because you got to process through it a little bit. But in this case, being on time is a function of time management is a skill. So if I put this whole thing together, I choose to release my judgment of person as disrespectful because the truth is time management is a skill that this person has not perfected or practiced yet. Now, notice how I feel about somebody that is disrespectful. Notice how I feel about somebody who doesn't have this skill yet. It's a completely different feeling state. For one, I feel like I don't like that. I'm angry. I'm whatever. The other one, I feel a little empathy and compassion. That, right? Again, the judgment is the separation. They are disrespectful. The empathy is the reconnection. They haven't learned this yet. Now that I'm reconnected, I can potentially affect this situation.
I like it. So
But the ego hates it, right? Because the ego wants them to be wrong and bad and shitty. So
Right. Very
that's
metal.
why this is really like it's simple. It's just not easy.
Yep. And does that, I think we might have mentioned energy offline. I'm not sure we mentioned it here since we hit record, right? But does this relate to energetic levels as well? You just shifted from a very negative sort of energy to a much more positive one with empathy.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to sound like a West Side hippie here. It changes your frequency, right?
Yeah,
You're just vibrating at a higher level because you're right. Everything is energy. My old man's an electromagnetic compatibility engineer, right? I grew up with geek stuff. So everything is energy, and energy vibrates in frequencies and bandwidths and all the things, right? So when you do change that frequency, right, then ultimately physical world reality changes. We're also changing our feeling state. Remember, if I feel that somebody is disrespectful, I don't like them, I'm angry or whatever, that's a feeling state. Well, if I feel empathy and compassion, that's a different feeling state. Basic neuroscience, feelings drive actions, produce results. So the whole thing is about calibrating all of this, your energy, your belief system, your thoughts, your feelings, your actions, all of this needs to be calibrated to the experience and or the outcome that you're looking for. It's like picking the lock in a door. Once you get all the numbers lined up perfectly, you get what you want.
Yeah, well, that is a magical moment when you sit there and fight with them, and then boom, the lock turns.
Right. The lock turns, the door opens, and everybody feels better. And it's like, whoa, right? But again, the ego has got to move over.
And gosh, what I want to ask you on that. I got hung up on imagining when I was learning to lock pick, as a puzzle, a challenge, an exercise, and like literally feeling like, gosh, how can I not do this? And so many people in the world can, like the self-judgment, right? Like,
Right.
how am I unable to do this? And then boom, it opens. Like, holy cow, I did it.
Right.
I was going to ask you what we talked about emotion. We talked about energy. Oh, I know. So, in that two-step process, right? And the second step being sort of redefining it or restating, I choose to release X
Yes.
and redefining it because the truth is Y, right? I've set a new truth. In the way you approach this and what you teach and your tools, and we're talking about vibration, energy, vibration, sound is energy and motion. It's vibration. So do you say this to yourself silently? Is it important to say these things out loud, literally voice them?
That's a good question. Okay, so we are getting into it here. So for things to really move, there are three components, like fire needs three things, right? You need the ignition, you need the air, you need the fuel. The three things are sound, breath, and motion. So it can be very helpful to say these things out loud. It can be very helpful to breathe into it. It can be very helpful to add some kind of physical connection to it, right? Because that does have a dramatic impact on frequency, on energy. But
Tell
it's
me,
not and it's not necessary, right? Like, because I mean, I've done this a long time, right? So I can do this the second I know I'm in judgment. And by the way, there's no there. Like, if when you train yourself into this, I tell clients, you're never going to stop judging. That's part of the human condition. We actually need that. It's about being aware when you're in judgment so you can navigate the situation, right? And it really doesn't matter about wrong or right, okay? Because what I tell people is like, do you want to be right or do you want to be effective? Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Do you want to be right? Do you want to be loved? Like married people know this, right? You know, again, the successful thing that happened overnight, like 30 years of marriage did not happen overnight, right? So if that idea of being right, it doesn't really matter if the story, like when I say, and the truth is, because the truth is, it doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong here. What matters is what's aligned with the outcome that I want. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah, I mean, when I jotted that down, I'm thinking it doesn't really matter what the truth is. You're literally defining it. Just write whatever future fiction you want to create into your reality.
Because it aligns with the outcome that you're looking for, right? Everything you believe, right, is a choice. Your beliefs are choices that you haven't taken responsibility for yet. And once you take responsibility for everything you believe, then you can believe whatever the hell you want. And your opportunity, or maybe your obligation, is to select the belief that aligns with getting you what you want. Like
Yep, I'm
I wanted a
following
good relationship with my dad, right? And I could tell a story about how he was a good dad or how he was a bad dad. It's like, well, which one's going to work for me? Like, which is the story about the physical world reality, right? He had a hard road. I grew up in a very privileged neighborhood in a very scary house, okay?
you.
And I can judge him in all these ways, or I can say, well, he was doing all these things because of, you know, the death of my sister and the bruise and the whatever, and he was doing his best he could to survive and sustain the family. So what story's true? Well, which one aligns with having a good relationship with my dad, right? So
Right. And our memory is so imperfect anyway, right? So you might as well choose to remember it in a way that serves you.
It's because you're right, and that's a very astute point, you know. And I, you know, the therapist will most of the, I think the therapist even will tell you, what's hurting you right now is not what happened. It's how you're remembering it and how you're relating to it. That's what's affecting you now.
Yeah, or what you're hanging on to for sure.
Yeah. What are you hanging on to?
So those three things you mentioned, sound, breath, and motion. And I guess so, two comments. When I asked you, hey, does it need to be out loud? And your answer landed with me. Like I was thinking of my son, growing up learning to do math. First, you do it longhand on paper, right? And then you could do some level of math in your head at some point and
When in
still be
doubt, write it
effective.
out. All right.
Write it out. Exactly. So, sound intuitively makes sense to me. Breath, I have experience with, makes sense to me. Motion, how do you put all three of those things together?
Well, it doesn't have to be anything dramatic, you know. You don't have to do, you know, some kind of jazz routine or something, right? Just, and any kind of motion, really, whatever integrates it into your system, right? You know, like what's going to get it in there? I mean, you can just move your shoulders around or stretch or something, right? But to bring that connection into your whole, what I like to call human system, right? Mind, body, spirit, right? Yeah, there's no magic to it here. It's just, again, it's a mobilization of energy.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I was thinking of, disrupting your state, literally
Yeah.
moving to sort of change
Yeah, you can
date.
sway back and forth. You can do tapping like EFT kind of thing, you know, the tapping on your face or whatever.
Yeah. And then I was thinking of, you asked me about the wolf here in the background. Mark Divine would probably have us doing air squats while we're breathing
I
and
train with
sounding it
those guys
out.
regularly. They kill me.
I
No
know.
more burpees, man.
No more burpees, no more air squats, please. So you mentioned ego a couple times. Talk about this epic showdown, you call it, between soul and ego.
Yeah, the ego. Well, what do you want to know? I can go down a lot of rabbit holes here.
Yeah, I don't know. I just found that interesting when I read it in your bio. I mean, like you said, we're never going to kill the ego. It's part of us. It's a survival tool. It's one perspective that wants to be the only one and the right one. But how does it relate to the soul? How can it resonate? How can we remove some of that friction?
Well, I think the way I look at it, one of the ways that I look at it is that as important as my ego thinks it is, and my ego thinks that I am Chris King and all this, but it's actually in service to a bigger thing. You know, there's this idea that you are not a human who possesses a soul. You are a soul having a human experience. And I can get a little Joe Dispenza on this, which I agree with, is that you're actually a soul having a spiritual experience on the physical end of the energetic spectrum, which just makes me sound smarter than I am. But there's a lot of words, but the ego has been constructed by the soul in order to serve the experience that the soul is here to have, right? And to learn what I'll call whatever the spiritual curriculum is. And I needed to come down here and sort of put on the Chris King suit and pretend to be this guy in order to learn these lessons and navigate the world and do all this kind of stuff, right? So, but when the soul can realize, when the ego can realize, okay, I'm in service to something bigger than me, well, that's when your life gets better. And we can see this in people that do charity work, that people that are really in service to something bigger than themselves, even your own life's purpose, right? This is not something like this company that I built and everything that I'm doing. This is all in service to the bigger thing. Like, you know, I'm not status quo. I'm in service to status quo, which is in service to this bigger thing, right? And that's, which is in service to everybody, having the experience that they came here for. Like, I'm not in service to humans. I actually don't like humans sometimes, right?
Understand.
So it's great that I get to move them out of my way, you know, because they're in the way of the experience that the soul came here to have. That's the thing that I'm in service to, is the bigger thing that's trying to come through you.
Cool. Chris, let me just earmark that one for a second. I want to go like down two rabbit holes that hopefully are a little bit quick. So just, you know, that. So have you read a book called Many Lives, Many Masters?
No, I haven't read that one.
It's fascinating. There's a sequel I haven't read, but this first one is, you know, I may get this a little bit wrong, but the spirit of it is right. This guy is like an Ivy League class, you know, traditional Western psychotherapist type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he has one particularly traumatic client with whom he starts trying some hypnotherapy and regression stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she ends up, over the course of kind of discovery and then their therapeutic relationship, doing past life regressions.
Okay.
Like to the point where this guy becomes like a huge believer, not in the tool, but that there is reincarnation happening, right? So she under hypnosis takes him back through many lives where some of these unexplained traumas or fears or other things that were showing up in her current existence may have come from, like an inexplicable fear of drowning. And they ended up in a lifetime where I think she and a child were drowned in a flood, you know, so they went back through this thing. And then I think the many masters piece comes from in between these lives. There were times when, as he tells the story, her soul was waiting to come back into this physical experience again.
Mm-hmm.
And there were these instances where a master was there to sort of debrief her, you know, on what was learned in that experience and sort of talk about what other work she still needed to come back and do.
Mm-hmm.
You may enjoy that one. It's fascinating. So that was like one dimension I was going to ask you down this path of, you know, souls having a spiritual experience in a physical existence. You know, what's your own belief on multiple lives, reincarnation, a soul having multiple experiences in different humans?
I love that you keep the topics really light and easy. You know, so there's a lot that I believe here in terms of, you know, it's like the whole idea of oneness, consciousness, God, source, spirit, universe, energy, consciousness, whatever the hell you want to call it, right? You know, like, I don't believe in Sky Daddy that judges and rewards. That sounds like nonsense to me. This sort of egoic construct that I am God, that doesn't make any sense to me. But this idea that a piece of that entity has split off and come down as me and then incarnated in this body and whatever, and all the conditions are set up perfectly for my spiritual curriculum, right? For that piece of me. Like there's a great quote. I don't remember where I heard this or who said it, unfortunately. I wish I could cite this, but it says, "You are the universe experiencing itself." And so imagine that there's this entity that decides, I want to know what it feels like to mountain bike and have the wind on my face. I don't just want to know what it feels like. I want to know what it feels like as this Michael person. I want to know what it feels like as this Chris person, as this Jennifer person, as this Fong person, as the, like, so it's got all these mountain bikers out there, right? And just, and I'm going to overlay all this other stuff through those lenses. I want to do, it's like, you know, it's like, has a lot of desires, right? I want to do all these things and I want to learn all of these things. And so it is this, I do like this idea that you are the universe experiencing itself. you know, you're having this experience because something got curious enough and wanted to embark on that. You know, and my gift is, one of my gifts is pattern recognition. I can see how things are like other things. So I tend to speak and think in analogies. And so I look at life very much like I look at high school. The day you're born is your first day of freshman orientation, right? And the day you graduate is when you walk across the stage, and that's death, right? And Deepak Chopra said, I actually had the good fortune of being at his house once, and he said that death, he said, death is not the opposite of life. Death is the opposite of birth. And I thought that was a really nice bookend, right? And it just framed it for me in that way. Did I even answer your question?
Well, you know where you took it, just, you know, when you said patterns, one of the things that just popped in my head is, and you mentioned like all these things, I don't think you used the word aligned, but mm-hmm. there's this perfect setup for this experience to happen.
Yes.
You know, and if you go back to like the, you know, the great mathematicians see all these repeated ratios and, mm-hmm. and mathematical formulas in nature, you know, the Fibonacci, or, you know, mm-hmm. our wingspan of our arms is the same as our height, like all these things. And I just read one the other day that the sun is exactly 400 times the size of the moon, but it's 400 times the distance away. And so that's why we see these
completely
two orbs.
Coincidental, right?
Super random.
I mean, look at bees. Look at what happens when you, like, you take sound to sand and vibrate at different frequencies, and the things that start to have, like, it's wild. Like, this universe is so fucking cool. Like, you know, when you start digging into these things, I mean, it really is. It's just awe inspiring. It's like, it's awesome in the truest sense of the word, right? Just truly awesome.
It is, which, you know, go back to sort of how you decide to have your experience. You know, you can have that appreciation of that awesomeness every day.
Yeah, there's actually, you know, the setup thing. Like, you know, my sister was a Downs child. She died at the age of 11. My father, who he was, and all that, like all of it was constructed perfectly so that all of us could learn all the things, you know, at least have the chance to learn all the things. And there's a book called The Energy Codes by Dr. Sue, I should know that, but The Energy Codes. And she talks about the bus stop conversation, where, like, if you and I are, you know, BFFs, right, and we're going along this life together, we had, before we came down here to this planet, we had this conversation at the bus stop while we were waiting for the bus to Earth, where it's like, okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to show up like this, and then you're going to show, and then you were, you know, are going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Like, they set it all up, right? And then we come mm-hmm. down here and perform on stage in the play, right? It's that, and I think there's actually something to that. The way you or I might go into a movie theater and suspend our disbelief so that we can have the experience of the movie that we're going there for. What if it's the same from that bus stop? We're going to suspend our disbelief that any of this is not real, right? Like, or like, maybe none of this is real. It was all set up, and it's a theater, right? And it's just a really good movie, right? Instead of sitting there watching it, we're really in it. And maybe it's the same, right? So maybe we are suspending our ideology. We're creating the illusion of separation between you and me. We're pretending all of this stuff so that we can have the experience that we came here for.
Yeah, no, I it takes me back again to that documentary I was watching last night that, mm-hmm. you know, if all these things have to sort of happen to have the experience, you know, maybe multi-generationally, right. Whatever that word is, you know, you, your sister, your dad, how mm-hmm. that all had to set up. So in that doco last night, so they're at the Colosseum in Rome, right? Mm-hmm. So they're talking about the population of Rome being something like 1.2 million people in 300 AD.
Wow.
And that was at the tail end. The Roman Empire collapsed. Humanity sort of, or at least European humanity, entered the Dark Ages, we call it. And there was not a Western city that size again until Victorian London, like 1500 years later, something mm-hmm. like that. Right. So, I mean, think about that, right? Like these major waves of human experience.
Right.
And like, or whether it's like getting wiped out by an ice age or a global flood, and then we get to reset and kind of learn it all again.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. It's like, look, what happens when, you know, when you were a kid, did you ever play with Legos?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
What do you mean when I was a kid?
Right. Exactly.
My son and I just built one for Christmas.
That's actually why we have kids as men, so we can get back to Legos without being judged. Right. So what do? You know, my brother and I, we would build Legos. We never really played Legos, but we built Legos, right? We'd build an entire city or an entire spaceport. And then what happened 2 days later? tear the whole fucking thing down and do it all over again.
Right. And what build something completely new. Right? Right.
What if consciousness or whatever is just like, no, okay, I'm over the spaceport. Let's build a town, you know, thing, whatever. It's the same, right?
Yeah, like the Romans are interesting. Let's clean the whiteboard and see what happens next time.
Over it now. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, we do.
No, this. You asked me if you'd answered my question. Yeah, thank you for taking me down that path. The other part of it you got into anyway. The second part I was going to ask or mention about was, you know, you mentioned Dispenza earlier. Mm-hmm. The Hawkins stuff where he, mm-hmm. I mean, he spends a lot of time talking about a single, connected, timeless consciousness, mm-hmm. all knowing, all seeing, you know, past, present, future,
right.
And all interconnected, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, all life, not just mm-hmm. human life, but
right.
animals, plants, the whole thing, I think, as he characterizes it, which I think you sort of started to touch on in terms of all of us being the universe having an experience.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way I look at it anyway. You know, Joe Rogan said something from the stage once. He said, whenever you meet another person, think of it as you living another life. That's cool. Like, that's just wild. Like, think of that human as you living another life and treat that person accordingly.
You know, I took a little version of that. I had not heard Rogan say that. But you find this funny if you've gone and trained with like Divine or some other similar mm-hmm. guys.
Yeah.
And hopefully Steve doesn't hear this because who knows, you know, what price he'll make me pay next time. But I went up and I did this, 75 hour men's growth event mm-hmm. up your way that is very physical in nature, at least for a good portion of it. And outside looking in, you know, it looks very mm-hmm. physical. And so you got Steve's this former Marine. So he's the drill sergeant type. He's screaming at you. He's demeaning you. He's, you know, words and
all the good stuff.
Everything's flying, right?
Right.
And so I remember taking this mindset and this sort of tool into it at one point where I decided that, you know, in the darkest moments of Steve screaming at me and doing burpees or whatever was going to happen, I was going to look at him as an extension of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And just sort of look at this situation with love, with empathy, with appreciation, with gratitude. Right.
Right.
And not, you know, not get stuck in like, oh my gosh, and poor me. And can I do it? And this sucks. And I'm in pain. And I remember at one point this guy screaming at me and I was face down in the dirt mm-hmm. and just like smiling and having the best time ever. Right. Because I just looked at this other, you know, we're not two different people. We're just, you know, sort of one thing, having a shared experience here.
Right, right. And so there you are grinning away, like, you know, looking like a psychopath or something, right?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I paid to make myself this miserable, right? But it is, you know, it is true. You know, Carlos Castaneda said, we make ourselves miserable or we make ourselves strong. The amount of work is the same. And that's legit. You know, what, like, you can tell yourself whatever story you want. You can tell this sucks and this doom and gloom, and or you can recognize that, you know, struggle and progress are in relationship, right? You don't get progress without struggle. So like they say in the military, embrace the suck, right? Embrace the suck. It sucks. And this is how, you know, I mean, and this gets very Friedrich Nietzsche too, right? You know, it's like, congratulations that things fall apart, because that's where the alchemy is. That's where the biggest, you know, the biggest rebound opportunity is from rock bottom.
Yeah.
Like that's where the ball bounces back.
Right.
If you understand how to leverage this, how to alchemize this, you don't have to like something to make it work for you. I deal with that with teams all the time. It's like, this sucks. The market sucks. Right. And fortunes are made in down economies. So let's put on our big girl panties and deal here.
Yeah. So talk some more about that. If we bring it back to, you know, I feel like we're talking about, obviously, we're getting a little deep. I like to ask the stuff that I'm curious about.
Let's make it usable and actionable.
Yeah, let's take it back to the daily level. You know, maybe we're talking a little bit more about the personal side of things, the emotional side of things, the growth and personal development stuff. Take it back to the professional side of things. You know, if I'm, you know, the audience here, right? A lot of business owners, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of executives. How do I take it back to the business world, the relationship world, or the, you know, the team performance world?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, I mean, again, the releasing of the judgments about everything, right? And putting yourself in the framework of, I understand I don't like this. What can I do with it? Where can I go from here? I think that's a really important way to look at it. The other thing is there's amount of humility that might be really helpful here. Yeah, let's go with that. Because remember that, and I'm just going to give a lot of pseudo-poetic one-liners and quotes from other smart people, right? Hamlet, for nothing is either good nor bad. Thinking makes it so. If you like it, it's good. If you don't like it, it's bad. The thing itself is nothing. It's about your relationship to it. Okay, my relationship to this thing is it sucks or whatever, right? Well, that's going to have an effect on your psychology. That's going to have an effect on your neurochemistry. So there's a big yes and there. Man, this sucks. Well, first of all, not really. I don't like this. Okay, that's true. But again, it doesn't suck. It's just I don't like it. Okay, cool. What can I do with it? If I can start going, okay, but what can I do with this? Here's the great thing about this. You might actually, when you get your neurochemistry and your psychology and your physiology, your energy field all lined up with success, you might actually have better success than the plan that you thought was the right way. Quite frankly, sometimes the only difference between the worst thing that could possibly happen and the best thing that could possibly happen is the passage of time. I mean, when my second wife left me, it was the worst thing that could possibly happen. I didn't think I was going to survive it. I was a mess. Fast forward 6 months. Thank God she left because I didn't have the stones to do it and we were both miserable. And we could finally get on the paths that are exactly, or at least much more aligned, right? It's like this, yes to this. If I look back at that now, I go, oh God. So you don't, I'll circle back to the judgment thing and because it ties into the like and don't like thing. You are not qualified to decide if something is good or bad because you just don't have that level of perspective yet. So the question is, what are you going to do with it? You have an opportunity here. What are you going to do? Are you going to try and force it to be your way? Or are you going to say, well, let's alchemize this. Let's do something better with it. And I can run this through any lens. If you are having a very hard time affording that brand new, fully loaded Honda Accord, you might decide, okay, I'm going to scale back and go with a Civic, a lower end model. Or you can go the other way and go, you know what? I'm not making it on the whole a Honda Accord thing. How about we go for a fully loaded high end Mercedes? Like, and there's no right answer here. It's just a question of, you know, what's going to work for you.
So like taking that example of your second wife, right? And later the realization that you guys were stuck in a place that you didn't need to be in and something had to happen.
Mm-hmm.
She catalyzed it. And I know you've got a program that's focused mm-hmm. around helping people get unstuck. So can you talk a little bit about that and, you know, maybe tell a nameless client story or two on how this shows up or how this yeah. tool gets put to work?
Thank you. Yeah, we're really proud of the Get Unstuck program because that, you know, stuck shows up in any number of ways. So, you know, and the coaches that work for me, you know, they, depending on which flavor of stuck you're in, that's who you're going to work with, right? So, and here's the great thing about this. It doesn't have to be some big, when we think about transformations, it doesn't necessarily have to be a huge thing. Now, we have like the life transitions thing, right? This might be a birth or a death or a marriage or a divorce or a move or a new house or, you know, whatever, career, that kind of thing. So there's the life transitions if you're stuck there. There's love dating and what I like to call situationships because let's face it, you know, my relationship history, that's a much better word for me. So love dating situationships, if they're stuck, maybe you want to fix it. Maybe you don't want to fix it. Look, you know, I don't judge these things. There's what we call the miserable millionaire. Now, this doesn't necessarily literally mean miserable, but generally the client in that box is, it's been heavily masculine in that. So mostly men in that one. But just has it all, but hates his life. Just not like this is not what I want kind of thing. And then there's destination unknown, which is I don't know what, but I know it's not this, right? And so, but yeah, and most of our clients, actually, we're about 70% women. So it's interesting the way the organization unfolded that way. But,
interesting.
But yeah, so we got the Get Unstuck program to finally get things moving. Because let's face it, New Year's resolutions suck. This is not going to happen, right?
What does I want to ask you a little bit about the miserable millionaire and yeah. the destination unknown, mm-hmm. but make sure I come back to how the program works, how long it takes, how to engage with you guys, all that good stuff. Yeah. But how often do you see the miserable millionaire, you know, their ultimately their issue being that question of destination unknown, or maybe purpose would be another way to say that.
Yeah, there can be some overlap. A lot of times it's our relationship to the thing, not the thing itself. Right? If there's an unconscious code in somebody's belief system that prevents them from enjoyment, from happiness, for life, like, you know, if you don't believe that you can be happy, it doesn't matter what somebody gives you. You're just going to find a way to make yourself miserable. So again, we got to get to what's really going on here. The problem isn't the problem. It's the result of the problem. If you're an organization, you have employee retention problems, that's not your problem. That's the result of the problem, right? If you have friction in your marriage, that's not the problem. That's the result of the problem, right? When friction in a marriage is going to be like, oh, okay, we seem to have not done a good job creating a safe container in which we can actually have an uncomfortable conversation and get shit worked out. That's the problem. Maybe you don't even know how to create one. You know, I am not psychologically conditioned for a secure functioning relationship. Just my history and whatever. I'm well aware of that, right? I'm only now, decades later, even close to capable of a secure functioning relationship, right? So my relationships falling apart wasn't the problem. It was way deeper than that, right? So you got to get to what's really going on.
And when you get there, and then you're maybe rewiring that unconscious, subconscious belief system.
Mm-hmm.
And again, maybe bring it back to the way you work in the Unstuck program. How long does it take, right? It seems like that two-step thing where I release and I redefine the truth to my own experience.
Yeah.
It takes a while to convince myself of the new belief. A fake it till you make it.
Well, wow, there are a lot of answers to this question. Okay, let me answer the question you asked. How long does it take? That depends on you. How long is it going to take me to train you to become an Olympic swimmer? Well, how long are you going to hold on to the side of the pool? I have a client right now. Fair. That, I mean, look, I had a client that texted me. She said, you've doubled our revenues, you've eliminated my stress, and you saved my marriage. That took us 4 months. You know, so I have another one. I have one right now. He called me up. It's a one-on-one engagement. And I don't do a lot of one-on-one. The coaches that work for me do that, but I took this guy on. And he's got a successful business. He works too much, you know, that kind of thing. He said, my wife has left. She's moved out of the house. She's filed for divorce. And I want to fix this. And I want to get her back. Fast forward, I've got her doing a 180 on this and reconsidering everything. Because what I discovered was that the problem wasn't the marriage. There was a deeper thing going on with her psychology that was really driving most of this. This took me 4 weeks. 4 weeks, I've got a woman who's already filed a divorce, completely rethinking this. Now, here's the best part. I haven't even talked to that woman, Michael. So you'd be amazed. When I'm not kidding. When somebody asks me what I do for a living, I tell them I bend reality and make seemingly impossible things happen very quickly. I'm not kidding. And it's not me that's doing it. It's the client. It's you. You are the sole creator of your reality. You are a human system, and any system, reality itself is the end result of a system. Any system can be hacked if you understand that system well enough.
So when you say you have not even spoken to her, this is you working with the husband and teaching him to redefine that system.
Yeah, completely shifting his frequency to an alternate reality. This is what the hippies call law of attraction, right? You know, my father would just call it subatomic physics, right? It's just, we can run it through whatever lens you want. But when you match the frequency of a human to the frequency of an experience or an end result, you bring it to them. So you don't have to go chasing it. But if you adjust these things in the energetic and in the frequency first, it happens a lot faster, because the physical world reality is the last thing that happens in the chain. The energetic happens first.
Sure. And, you know, I asked the question, how long? I mean, 4 weeks is nothing in terms of salvaging a relationship. 4 months is nothing, you know, for the lady that had the doubling of her business and the relationship success and all these other right? things you mentioned.
Well, and it'll take, here's the real answer to the question. It'll take as long as you think. right? Like, you know, Stephen Kotler and the Flow Research Collective. Stephen's my spirit animal. I love that guy. And I've been fortunate enough to spend some time with him and work with his organization a bit. And tasks or projects ultimately will take as long as you think they will. There's, you know, quantum field. I mean, these things are, it's like an iguana. It's going to grow the size of its container. Okay. So,
yeah, right.
So your life is like an iguana, right? I'm going to make this analogy today. But if you think it's going to take you 10 months to write a book, it will. If you think it's going to take you 3 months to write a book, it will. And this has to do with the Bannister principle, right? The 4 minute mile guy, right? The second, nobody could run a 4 minute mile until this guy who believed he could do it did it. And then everybody believed it. And his record, right, after decades of people trying to do it, his record lasted 46 days, right? So the people that say seeing is believing are wrong. Believing is seeing. If you believe it to be a certain way, you will see it a certain way. You will actually make it a certain way. So even when I go into an organization and they want to grow their business, whatever, like, and they'll say, well, we want to grow 15%. I'm like, why not 100? Why are we playing only 15%, right? That's my first question. And then they want to talk about sales trends and history and market, you know, market trends or whatever, sales, KPIs, all the things. I'm like, don't bring that shit to my meeting because it's going to screw up what I think. It's going to screw up what I believe. So if you address things at the physical world reality, right? Remember I said the physical is the last thing that happens in the chain. If you address it at the physical world reality, then you got to swim upstream to the energetic, and it's a lot of energy and it takes longer. If I can address what somebody thinks and deal with it at the energetic, I'll produce the physical world reality a lot faster with a lot less energy and probably a lot better.
Right. Yeah. And I think you said all this in there, but just to tease it out.
Please. Word economy is not a gift I possess.
No, you said it will take as long as you think. But then I, you know, we also said it's not just that, right? You have to think, you have to believe, and then you also have to feel. You have to deeply emotionally connect to it as well.
Yeah, that is a really powerful point. You know, the times that I've achieved the impossible stuff, you know, the hockey thing, the radio thing, the building this company thing, it was what I now call the marriage between my commitment, which is very masculine for me and its frequency and my orientation. It's very choice driven, very heady, very mental. The marriage between my commitment and my devotion, which is very feminine, softer. It's that thing I'll fall on my knees and I'll kill for, I'll die for, more importantly, I'll live for, right? And when I marry my commitment to my devotion and I attach that to a vision, I cannot fail. I will not fail. You will not fail. When that triad's complete, no stopping you.
Awesome. Yeah, I like that triad. I like the way you said that. So let me ask you one more thing.
First
time, right.
First time I've ever said it that way.
All right, I'll send you notes. You know, just on, you know, actionable stuff and framework before we get out of here today, what does this look like for your clients on a daily basis, right? How does this become part of their lives? Is it a practice? Is it a morning routine? Is it something they do independently or with you and your coaches?
Yeah, it's everything is very custom to each client. This is no out of the box solution. It's not step one, step two, step three. That's not going to support us in any kind of discovery. And this is a discovery thing. And I tell clients, you're not coming along on my program. You're taking me on your journey. Like that. So it's all wildly different. What it looks like on the daily is, well, there's two things. There's what it looks like and what it feels like. Initially it looks and feels very slow. You know, like the first tool is going to be basically doing nothing, right? This one thing, look, here's what I need you to pay attention to and just notice it. And they're like, what? All you want me to do is notice this. Yes, that's all I want you to do. And I say, look, because if you do this your way, if you try and do this at the physical, it's going to take you a lot longer and it's going to take you a lot more energy. It's going to be more expensive, all the things. You do it my way. I'm going to automate this for you. It's going to take a lot less energy and it's going to go way faster. And so the clients that we work with, they're aware of 30 to 50% of what's going on. I'm doing the unconscious deeper surgery at the 50 to 70% and they don't know what's going on. And so the work is actually somewhat Machiavellian because I'm not going to tell clients certain thing because I need them to come to that awareness on their own because that's going to support the integration. If I just tell you, the magic doesn't happen, right? So it's, you know, it's anywhere from 3 months to, you know, maybe a year. Not many people need us really after a year. And there's not a lot of what I would call homework. You know, what we do is we interlace everything that we do in their lives that they're already living. So it's not like they got to sit down and, you know, for give me 2 hours of your evening or some shit like that.
So there's magic in the mind fuckery.
Yeah,
Is what
there
you're
is
saying.
magic in the mindfucker. Exactly.
That makes perfect
Exactly.
sense. I'm just curious, as you were saying that, how do you qualify your clients? How do you choose them? How do you choose not to work with particular
That's a
folks?
really good question. You know, it's a feeling. I know very quickly the way I think women are particularly good at this in my experience. If you sit down for a date, you know within about 3 seconds if you need three more seconds, right? You just know. I will say this much. And at this stage of my own evolution and where the organization is, nobody finds us by accident. You know, it seems there's some kind of serendipity to it. There's some kind of pull. You know, I had a client that kept reaching out to me and wanting to have conversation with me, just wanted to talk. Says, I don't know, every time I talk to you, I want to talk to you more. And I said, look, you've been orbiting my star for about 3 months. Nobody who isn't my client orbits my star for 3 months. Like that's just not a thing. I scare them off in about 3 minutes, right? So it's not so much like a qualification process. I mean, I'm going to have a conversation with somebody so I understand where they are on the map in terms of, you know, their framework and how they're doing things, and can I give this person a 10-to-1 return on their expectation? Right? Because they're going to expect, well, this is what they expect. I need to get 10 times more than that. That's my measurement.
Yeah, no, that's great. So I know we're going to get links up with this episode, but just, you know, generally speaking, so for anybody who sees, watches, hears this one, it feels very
Right?
interesting to them. They're getting pulled into that orbit. You know, you've popped back on their radar. The universe has stuck you in their path yet again. What do they do? You tell me where to find the unstuck, or find you, or find your team.
Go. You know what? We have a website set up specially for your listeners at the statusflow.net. That's status flow, like go with the flow, statusflow.net/men-2-mastery.
There you go. Even if it's women, because you got a
Even if
bunch
it's
of women
women, that's
clients.
true. Exactly. Yeah, it's true. Maybe, you know what? I mean, I joke about this, you know. So somebody asked me, what's your call me when? And I took, because of the room I was in, it was a lot of attorneys and tax professionals, and it was mostly men. I said, call me when you know a professional woman who's overwhelmed, burned out, and irritated with her husband. And like half the room was like, that's my wife.
Exactly.
I just knew it'd be funny. So.
So go out, hit statusflow.net, and we've got the Men to Mastery link set up there. So again, we'll send it out with this one, but just folks can hit that, find out more, find out how to get in touch with you and the team.
Yes, that's it. That's all I got to do. Reach out. I know my operations director is fantastic. Anna will get a hold of anybody that reaches out and we'll have the conversation.
Okay. No, I appreciate that, Chris. I really appreciate you coming on today. Some awesome insight, commitment, devotion, and vision. I
You
got a
like
bunch of
that
stuff
one.
written. I do like that one. I got 2 pages of notes here. I always come away with so many nuggets from these kind of conversations. So, hey, I
Thank
really
you.
appreciate you. I appreciate the work you're doing. Thank you so much for taking the time and coming on to introduce yourself to my audience. I hope we can connect the two worlds and send some folks your way.
My pleasure. And thank you so much. Like, you're just a whole next level human. And I really appreciate being able to have this kind of conversation. And, you know, you being so geographically close, if there's anything I can do for you or, you know, let's get together sometime, I'd love to do it.
Same to you. We'll knock out some burpees or
Right?
something along the. Yeah,
Put some,
my.
we'll ring some steel maybe, right?
That'll work too, for sure. All right, Chris. Hey, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Michael.
All right. Thanks, brother. I don't know where my cursor went to stop recording, so I'll cut this thing off. Hey, I know we didn't get into much of your, you know, the ups and downs story and the journey and all that kind of stuff.
This ain't about me.
Thank you for bearing with me on the bigger questions, the deeper stuff, the
No,
stuff
you
I get
asked the
curious
cool
about.
questions, man. I'm like, wow, check out this guy. Like, very cool. Like, you're a cool fucking human. Like,
Right, guys, that is it. It's a wrap for today with episode 119, Chris M. King, Transform Your Reality. Hey, thank you again to our guest, Chris King, and his staff. I really appreciate their patience as I worked through the process of getting this one out that we recorded a couple of months ago. statusflow.net/men-2-mastery is the website that Chris and his team have set up as a landing page for you guys to check out what Chris and his team do over there at statusflow.net. And for your convenience, look, you can just jump out to our website and the episode page for this one at men2mastery.com/119. And you'll find links to all of Chris's stuff, his social medias, his YouTube, his webpage, and that landing page for you guys. Okay, hey, that's it for this week. Look, if you've got experience, lack of experience, questions, anything in the same realm, to me, this is a super interesting, fascinating, and of course, useful, valuable, almost invaluable topic and tool. So if you've got any comments on those books I mentioned, questions about them, suggestions for others, if you've done a deep dive, what's working for you, any of those kind of things, I'd love to hear about it. So feel free to reach out. You guys know where to find me. Like I said, I am reading Becoming Supernatural, Joe Dispenza, right now. So I may mention it again here in the near future. You may see some posts on it. Besides that, I just want to say thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. I know it has been a while, like I said. So if you're still with me here, super appreciate it. We got another one coming up here that I've recorded and need to get out in your hands. That one is with Special Forces veteran Wiley McGraw. Also another interesting conversation. So get that one out to you guys soon. For now, that's it. Episode 119, Chris M. King, Transform Your Reality. Guys, get out there and do the work, because this stuff is super powerful. It's right there at your fingertips to bring into your own reality any possible future you can even imagine. All right, guys, be well. Get out there, get some. See you soon. Bye.